Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Balaval. Balaval, who are you? How'd you get in here?
Anna Balaval.
See, I can't do that. On my best day, I can't do that. Can you one more time?
Anna.
Balaval. La 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 la.
Be.
That's better. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now. He's the managing... I can say that. Managing editor of Decider.com. A great website if you like entertainment, if you like television, if show business, it's all there. Alexander, there's a whole bunch of TV news, and the only reason I can think of that they've released this all at one time is because of the San Diego Comic-Con. Is there any way that those two are tied in?
Yeah, I think you've drawn a pretty clear connection between them. San Diego Comic-Con is happening right now. It unofficially kicked off Wednesday night and full-fledged Thursday, and it's only going to get crazier over the weekend. A lot of people still think about it as just a comic book convention, but it's far from that. There's huge movies are going to be there. It's become a TV festival over the past couple of years in particular. So everybody's dropping trailers. Everybody's dropping news. We've certainly felt it here at the Decider newsroom, and things are kind of amped up to 11 at this point. But it's all fun stuff.
And then what they do over there is they'll bring the cast, like the entire cast of any given show, and they do this with dozens and dozens of shows. And then they'll do Q&A with the people in the audience, and they're very candid about their shows, about if a major character is leaving or if the plot is changing. They're all very honest, it seems, right?
There are a lot of studios save their biggest announcements for Comic-Con because they know all eyes of the press and all eyes of the fans are going to be on it, so they wait to drop that big information there. Sometimes it times out correctly, like The Walking Dead panel is always a big deal because the show is coming back in October, so they use the opportunity to drop the first footage from the upcoming season. And then sometimes it's just a chance to, you know, tease upcoming villains on a superhero show, show off a new show with big stars that nobody knows about. It's a circus.
Are you there or going there this weekend?
Not this year, unfortunately. We are covering it from afar on Decider, but I've been there a bunch of years in the past, and it's exhausting and exhilarating at the same time. It's kind of wonderful. It's like going to Times Square on New Year's Eve. Yeah. You have to do it at least once.
That sort of excitement. All right, so since you mentioned Walking Dead, let's start out with this. Yeah. There have been rumors for the last couple of months that the star of the show from day one, Andrew Lincoln, is leaving. Mm-hmm. What do we know?
Well, we know he's leaving now. I don't know if this was a gaffe or not, but the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, went on IMDb. They have a boat where they're doing interviews near San Diego Comic-Con, and he pretty much said that Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show. Now, AMC hasn't officially confirmed it. We expect that they will talk about it or officially reveal it later today when they have their panel. But yeah, Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show. There's a lot of rumors swirling about how he'll leave, whether his character will die or not. The other part of the rumor, which again hasn't been confirmed by AMC but seems pretty likely, is that John Bernthal, who played Shane, his best friend on the show, who died during the second season, will be coming back most likely for his final episode. Presumably it'll be in some sort of flashback or dream sequence or something like that, but it's going to be a TV event. I mean, this is still the biggest show on basic cable, and the star leaving the show is a huge deal.
I hate to see him go. From day one, I think that show worked so well because of the way he played that role. Rick Grimes, I can't imagine
anyone
else.
Isn't everyone there dead, so they could just kill him and bring him back? I mean,
he could still walk around.
He could still walk around.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
My suspicion, and this is pure suspicion, this is not based on anything, but my suspicion is they're going to leave it a little open-ended, let him walk off into the sunset.
Right.
Because the show is going to be going on, and I think they want to leave the opportunity for him to come back for whatever the final episode would be. But we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe. All right, so now there's some controversy over the new Teen Titans, which is now just called Titans. Evidently, somebody says something that they're not supposed to say. Please elaborate.
Well, I don't know how much I can elaborate on the air necessarily. The good news is this is the launch of DC Comics is doing a new streaming service called DC Universe that has original shows. It also has the old movies, like the old Superman movies, but even going back to things like the original Ruben Fleischer Superman cartoons. So it's going to be very cool for fans. But the first trailer came out for Titans, which is a more adult, very much more adult take on the Teen Titans character. And I guess the way that I could say it is, at a certain point in the trailer, Robin says, "Fudge Batman." but with a little less censoring.
Wow.
And fans are kind of freaking out about it a little bit.
Batman and Robin are supposed to be friends. Not you don't talk that way about a friend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. We don't know a lot about the show. My suspicion is that it takes place sometime in the future when Batman has left Gotham City. We're focusing on these characters a little bit as adults, and DC has talked about this is based on one of the most storied runs of Teen Titans, Marv Wolfman and George Perez's run, which dealt with some very adult issues. There was sex, there was violence, there was death. So we'll have to see how it pans out on TV, but certainly people are going to be paying attention after that particular phrase.
See, I have a 5 and a 10-year-old, and they're watching Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
And there's also, I can't let them watch what Alexander's talking about.
It's a little racy.
I didn't even know that that this is my exposure to that, Teen Titans Go. And there's also a movie coming out, an animated movie coming out, right, Alexander? Or am I totally confused that they're playing with us in at Cartoon Network?
This is the tricky thing that people have been pointing out is, yes, it's based on the comics. Yes, there is potentially a need for, you know, more adult superhero fare. But at the same time, fans know Teen Titans from the original animated series, which was aimed towards, I'd say, 8 to 12-year-olds. And then there's Teen Titans Go, which is a huge success. And as you said, has a movie coming out. And that's aimed towards little kids and a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Don't show them this. Definitely don't.
Thank you. Duly noted.
Please don't show them. Why do you think, and I know that you and I have talked separately about this, that we both are fans of the comic books, but why right now? What's going on right now where the top movies shown in theaters are about comic book heroes, that there's so many TV shows about comic book heroes? What's going on? What's behind that, do you think?
I think it's just an IP, not to get too businessy, but it's an area that wasn't mine for a while and suddenly exploded. People didn't do it right. Something we talk about a little bit around the office is the idea that for years, people were looking back towards, you know, movie serials, or they were looking back towards radio shows. That's where their nostalgia was. You finally got producers who understand superheroes, grew up reading comic books, and they want to make them into movies and TV shows. If you look at folks like Greg Berlanti, for example, I was talking to one of our great editors here, Megan O'Keefe, about it, and she very rarely brought up that people like Kevin Feige, who are ushering the Marvel movie universe, and Greg Berlanti, who deals with a lot of the CW, DC comics-based shows, they start as TV and film people first and comic book fans second. So they know how to make a really good movie. They know how to make a really good TV show. And then they weave in the superhero, the comic book of it all. That's how they make it work. And because these work, people just want more of them.
I'm just surprised there's such a glut. I was sure a couple of years ago, I'd go, well, it's going to, at some point, it'll tail off, but it hasn't. It's
grown.
But that's
what you said about the internet, too.
Yeah, I did.
So.
I did say the exact same thing. Thank you. Alexander Zelbin is our guest from Decider.com. So stay tuned. We've got more to tell you. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Anna on WGN.
They're real, too.
Are they real?
I don't know why they don't do Mike Andre, like they're so real, like they do with
Larry.
Well,
they do that with the morning show.
Yeah.
They let them know they're real, but I'm not sure that Mike and Joe are real. I think they're just holograms. I'll look into this.
Maybe.
I'll get back to you. Alexander Zalbin's here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like your show business news, your entertainment news, your TV news. What about this? The trailer has come out for the new episode, the new season, I'm sorry, of Better Call Saul. What do we know about this, Alexander? Uh-oh, hold on.
Thing in particular for Breaking Bad fans,
yes.
I think. You know, they've been waiting for the show to weave back in with the original show, which it takes place before it. And we're finally seeing some touches there. You're going to see Lydia is going to show up. Also, the cousins are going to show up on the show, not to spoil anything. And, of course, he's going to continue his slow march onto eventually becoming Saul Goodman instead of Jimmy McGill.
Did you? I didn't get you for the first couple seconds. I didn't have your mic on. But did you mention that it looks like Bryan Cranston is going to be an element in this or not?
Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are not necessarily going to show up, but we are going to see a couple of other Breaking Bad folks showing up on the season. Gus Fring has already been there. He was on the entire last season. But we're going to see Lydia, if you remember her from the final season of Breaking Bad, she's going to show up. And also the cousins, the two twins who are terrifying from Breaking Bad are going to show up. Also, Vince Gilligan, who's the creator of the show, has teased there's going to be some more things. There's a possibility that Dean Norris's Hank might show up before the end of the season, but we'll have to wait and see.
So the big complaint from some, not from me, but from some about Better Call Saul is that Bob Odenkirk's character is still Jimmy McGill, and he hasn't become Saul yet. Do we know yet if he becomes Saul or not? I know for people who don't watch the show, they won't understand that, and that's fine. But talk about that. Is that going to happen anytime soon?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know actually how many seasons they've planned it for. Before the show ends, it's going to be like Gotham with him eventually, you know, at the last moment putting on the Batman costume.
Yeah.
But by the time the show ends, we are going to see it in some way weave back into Breaking Bad. My weird hope, I actually disagree with those people a little bit, my weird hope is that we never see any of the Breaking Bad stuff, that we see it kind of get up to there and then skip ahead and see what happened afterwards as we see keys throughout the seasons. Yeah.
Well, in the very...
Because that show is so good.
Was it the first episode of the first season, we see him kind of living a sad, lonely existence in a mall, he's managing a store in a shopping center, and we don't really know much about how that ended up. So that's very... Mm-hmm. The scenario you just presented, that could very well be the last show or the last season, couldn't it?
Yeah, we've seen teases of that, usually at the beginning and the end of every season, these black and white sequences of him very sadly working at a Cinnabon. I was actually at a panel with some of the writers and creators of Better Call Saul a few weeks ago that AMC was holding, and they talked about how they talk for hours about what happens to Saul Goodman after Breaking Bad, and then all of that gets distilled down to about a minute per season. But they know where it's going. They know how his story ends, even if we only get to see little bits of it here and there.
If only the creators of Lost had been that specific, huh? Wouldn't that have been nice? What about Doctor Who news? There's some Doctor Who news.
Well, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. I don't know if you guys watch the show or like the show. If you've never watched it before, though, there's some pretty good news because it's headed for a big, bold reinvention coming this fall. For the first time, the title character, the Doctor, is going to be played by a woman. If you don't know about the show, it's kind of like James Bond, where new actors come in every once in a while and take over the role. But in this case, it's a time-traveling, several-thousand-year-old alien who travels through time and space. So Jodie Whittaker, who you might recognize from the British Broadchurch, is going to be taking over the title role. There's new cast members who are going to be traveling along with her. There's a guy named Chris Chibnall, who previously wrote on Doctor Who and created Broadchurch, who's going to be taking over the show. So it should be big, bold, and new. And I will tell you, just from watching fans on my Twitter timeline, people are already sobbing excited about this new take on the character.
Anytime they talk about updating James Bond and they say, maybe we'll have an African-American guy play James Bond, fans of the series go nuts and go, oh, no, it can't be. It's got to be a white guy. Is it similar with Doctor Who when they announced it would be a woman finally playing Doctor Who? Did fans get up in arms or not?
You know, it's funny, actually. The Doctor Who fan base is remarkably inclusive because they've already had a number of different people of color on the show. They've had different sexualities on the show. So you would have expected that, but fan outcry was remarkably positive. And I think it helped that you have 11 or 12 actors, depending on how you count it, before Jodie Whittaker, who came in, who uniformly came out and said, this is great, we love it, she's wonderful, yay, this is going to be fantastic. So I think that put fans' minds at ease. So good on the Doctor Who fan base.
Very, very good news. Sons of Anarchy ended last year, but if you're a fan of that show, you'll love to know that there's a sequel coming. How will the sequel differ from the original?
Probably not much. Honestly, the first trailer dropped in advance of the show's panel, which I believe is happening this Sunday at Comic-Con. It does take place after Sons of Anarchy. It is an official sequel. Edward James Olmos is going to be joining the cast,
and that's always
exciting because he's fantastic. But it's going to start J.D. Pardo as Ezekiel Easy Reyes. He gets out of prison and he joins the new Mayans Motorcycle Club. The title of the show is Mayans MC. So in the best way, if you're a fan of Sons of Anarchy, it seems like it should be more of the same. Violence, motorcycle riding, everything you like.
Excellent. Right before we went on air, Alexander, we got news that Roseanne Barr was involved in some weird comments, some weird tweets again. Do you know anything about this or not yet?
I do. We actually just posted this on Decider, and you can watch the full clip there. It's pretty weird, guys, and I feel like maybe you're trying to get me curse on air.
No, I'm not. I swear. I'm not. I promise.
Yeah, with this and with the Titan story. Mm-hmm. But Roseanne did some sort of interview that was posted on her own YouTube page where she responded to the Valerie Jarrett tweet, and her exact quote, she screams at the camera, "I thought that blank was white."
Oh.
That's her phrase. Oh. That she comes out, and then she proceeds to elaborate on it the entire time. She's smoking and cursing and yelling. The producer is laughing off camera. It's an absolutely bizarre tweet and bizarre video. And if this is the thing that was supposed to alleviate the pressure after a tweet, yeah, it does not do it.
You don't think this will right her ship? You don't think so?
No, it's weird. I learned this thing when I was a kid about two wrongs and a right, and I'm forgetting right exactly how it turns out, but we'll have to see.
What's that old phrase? When you're already in the hole,
yeah,
stop digging.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So true. So we know that the Connors, in some way, shape, or form, will come back to television without Roseanne. Do we know yet? Has it been determined yet? Has anybody said if they've killed the character off? Will they make any kind of reference to the fact they have to, that she's not part of it and won't be a part of it? Do we know anything yet, Alexander?
So they haven't specifically said it, but they've intimated pretty hard is what's going on. It certainly seems like from the description that they made of the show that probably she is going to die, because they talked about they're going through a climactic change of the family. Darlene is now going to be pretty much the lead in the show, taking over the main role in the family, but everybody is going to be involved. There's no way they can get through it without making some sort of reference, and I think they're frankly going to be pretty explicit. But that said, they've just started working on the Connors. We don't know exactly when it's going to go on the air, so they may still be bandying around the best way of handling Roseanne's exit.
You know, it's interesting because, as you all know, in the last episode of Roseanne, the character of Dan Connor died,
yes,
and their way of bridging it was actually very funny, very amusing. I don't know that it can be that amusing in Roseanne's case. Maybe. I mean, it's possible, but it's a tough one to pull off,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I think they could go the funny route. They could make fun of Roseanne on the show, particularly because she's not involved anyway, creatively or financially. Or another interesting route that they go is they could treat it seriously. I mean, that might pay too much tribute, frankly, to Roseanne at this point. But dealing with a real death, a real loss of a family is something that the show used to do really well, is the idea of taking a serious subject, treating it seriously, but also treating it in a comedic manner. But whichever way they go, certainly people are going to be watching.
I'm anxious to find out how they pull it off. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. We really appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, guys.
Absolutely. That's Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com, a really fun website. Go to Decider.com. All your TV info is there. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Anna in for on WGN.